Talk is entitled The Symptoms of the Living Entities. But this verse is more a description of the symptom of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Upanishads, it is described that there are unlimited eternals, nityo nityanam. Chetanas chetananam. There are many living beings who are conscious or self-aware. But Lord Krishna is the supreme eternal amongst many eternals. He is the supreme conscious person amongst all other persons. Eko bahunam yo vidadati kaman. He is the one who is maintaining all other living beings. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna tells Arjuna that anadbhavati bhutani parjanyad anasambhava. A very simple fact that food grains, all living beings need food grains to live. Food grains do not come from factories. Even meat eaters, people who say that I only eat meat, I don't eat vegetables, I don't eat grains, I just eat McDonald's or whatever. And I have met people who really, practically that's all they want to eat is meat. But even they depend on food grains. Who knows why? Huh? Well, the bread, that's McDonald's, but apart from that. Yeah. The animals have to eat food grains. They tried feeding meat to animals, and what did they get? They got cows that went crazy. Moo! Moo! Mad cow's disease. So, all living beings depend on food grains, and food grains depend on rain. There is to date no efficient or cost-effective system to take water from the ocean and irrigate the fields. Krishna has the only effective system. The sun shines on the ocean. The water evaporates. It forms clouds. That water is now distilled water because it is formed from steam. And then the clouds drop the rain on the land. And grains grow. So everyone is dependent upon the one supreme eternal, Lord Krishna. Because he is the one who is controlling the wind and the rain and the sun and the light, everything. In other words, we're not doing it. And when you find that person who is controlling everything, who is controlling nature, that is Krishna. Prakriti, kriyamanani, gunai karmani, sarvasya. I am controlling the entire material nature, Krishna says. Ahankara vimudatma. Someone who has a big ego, ahankar, he's a very foolish person. What is his symptom? His symptom is karta ham iti manyate. I am the doer. Karta, I am the karta. That he thinks in his mind. I'm reminded of one Swami who came from India in the late 1800s. He was to attend the World Parliament of Religions. His name was Vivekananda. So he had to address the body, he had to speak to the body, and he got up behind a podium like this. He was probably the first Indian in a sannyasi dress that many of the people had ever seen. So he told the people, why are you worshiping God? Why are you going to the churches? Why are you going to the mosques? You yourselves are all God. But during the course of the meeting, Swami Viv got a toothache. And he had to leave the meeting. During the course of the session, Swami Vivekananda got a toothache. And he had so much pain that he had to leave. So it seems that God got a toothache and had to leave. We are Anu, very small. God, Krishna, Jehovah, Allah, He's Vibhu, He's unlimited. Krishna says that all living beings are my parts and parcels. In the Bhagavad Gita, the material nature is described Bhumira po nalo vayu kammano buddhirevacha ahankara iti amme bina prakriti ashtata. That there are five gross elements and three subtle elements, mind, intelligence, and ego. Besides this material energy, there is another energy which is the jiva soul. That jiva soul is equal to God in quality, not in quantity. And it's so obvious. The material energy, or Maya, bewilders all living beings. So much so that we forget who we really are as spiritual beings. We think I am the body. When someone thinks that he's Napoleon Bonaparte, or someone thinks that he's Julius Caesar, or someone thinks that she's Cleopatra and starts putting on Egyptian dresses and taking bath in champagne, and, you know, when someone thinks that they're some personality like that, what do we say about them? They're crazy. There's something wrong with the electrical circuits up here. They go to a nice little home in the country where they can all, you know, be Julius Caesar and be Napoleon, you know, walk around as if they're Napoleon. But basically, they're crazy. But we're also crazy. Because we think we're this body. It's really stupid. What is the body? It's just a bag of chemicals. Everybody wants to enjoy the body, right? This is the land of carnival. Yeah, we go, if we really want to enjoy, we go to Rio. Rock in Rio, right? We enjoy the body. But what is it? Let's think for a few minutes. If I give you a bag of skin, it's made of skin, and I give you a bag, and you a bag, all of, I give you a bag of skin. Okay? Not paper, not plastic, but skin, made of skin, like skin. And then I put some stool in it. Put a little, put some blood in it. Some mucus. A little bit of pus. Some hair. What are you going to do with it? How are you going to enjoy it? Are you going to squeeze it? Put a nice hat on it and decorate it. Maybe put some lipstick on it. So we're mad. And we forget about our real identity. So we are not the supreme. Krishna never forgets that he's God. Although he comes to this material world just to bless us from time to time, just like the warden, the man in charge in a prison house, sometimes he goes to the prison. Sometimes the governor of the state goes to the prison. Sometimes the king goes to the prison. Oh, the king's in jail. Look at the king's in jail. He's not there because he committed some crime. He makes the law. He's there to give some parole, to give some pardon, to give some blessing. So Krishna also comes here to demonstrate his wonderful activities. And to give us a chance to notice that He is actually much greater than any of us, no matter what we do. No matter how many times we win the Formula One racing, no matter how many times we win the Wimbledon, no matter how many times we climb Mount Everest, no matter how many big movies we make, how many songs we do, Krishna's much better than any of us. But when we hear about Krishna Leela, we say, oh, I can't believe it. It's impossible. Yeah, it is impossible for you and me, but not for the one person who's maintaining all others. And that's our false ego, our ahankar. Yeah.
But what if I don't believe?
Who cares for your belief? A blind man may or may not believe in the existence of the sun. What is the use in his belief?
No, but I'm saying not Krishna. I don't like Krishna doing terrible things. When you tell me that these demons shaped like giant horses come, why should I believe that? There are no giant horses.
You look in nature. Get a microscope sometime. Get a... Okay. There are ghastly forms everywhere. We're discussing from our relative position. We think our form is so beautiful. But a cockroach thinks his form is beautiful. Cucaracha, I don't know what you call it. There are, for example, modern science can do so many amazing things that the layman cannot even understand how he's doing. A 100 years ago, no one could have imagined that we would have television, color television. In the last century, there were so many so-called developments in science, including the X-ray, including radio, television, spaceships, so many things. So, those who have yogic powers, they're able to create forms according to their mind's desire. Where do you think all those forms in Star Wars came from? Some people think they're real. Maybe they are. On a computer, computer graphics, some people are working and they create these forms which move around and you don't know how it's going on. But they also, a lot of times, they produce a video or a DVD or whatever that shows you how the movie was made. When they break it down, you say, oh, that's not very difficult.
quando você vê as técnicas que são usadas, você começa a compreender que isso não é tão difícil assim.
So anyway, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's all powerful. He's Ajita or unconquerable. But he becomes conquered by his devotees' love. This is described as ahoituki apratyata, love which is unmotivated and uninterrupted. We have no experience of this. The closest thing possibly would be a woman's love for her child. But when that loving propensity is reposed, is channeled in God, that becomes the source of our freedom from the material world. Just like this verse here, bhaktyatvananyaya sakya ham evam vidho arjuna jyatum drashtum cha tattvena praveshtum cha parantapa. Those devotees who are engaged in my service, loving devotional service, they can see me as I am. Gyatum, they can know me. Gyatum, drashtum, they can see me in truth. Chatatvena. I like this example of a computer because, you know, that was my field. Everybody knows that computers do and are promising to do very big things in our lives. When you get a ticket on an airplane, and along with thousands and thousands of other persons who are booking flights, a computer takes your request for a vegetarian meal, and you get on the plane, and the stewardess comes and says, "Oh, you're Mr. Swami? I have vegetarian meal for you." Huh? Sometimes. That's the computer. And there are so many examples of what the computer can do. But it's based on a very simple principle. One and zero. Big, big problems are solved. Star Wars, Matrix, The Sixth Sense, The Seventh Sense, all kinds of whatever it is, movies and this and that, rocket ships to the moon, whatever. All by computers. And it's based on 1 and 0, 1, 0, 0, 0, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 0. So I can't get into the whole purport of this verse tonight. We don't have time, but there's a lot here. But the essence is that the biggest problems we have in life can be solved by love of Krishna. In English, there is a saying, Probably you have a similar saying in Portuguese. The proof of the pudding is in the eating.
Existe um ditado em inglês que diz: a prova do pudim é comer.
No one's seen an electron. People have faith that there are electrons, protons, and neutrons. Nobody's seen one. Einstein didn't see an electron. He never saw an electron. Niels Bohr didn't see an electron. Nobody. Isaac Newton never saw an electron. What they see is they have a chamber, a cylinder. And it's filled with gas, smoky gas. They shoot electrons through it. An electric current from this side to the other side. There's a gap in the middle, a space in the middle. On this side there's a negative charge, and on that side there's a positive charge. And you see the electrons jump. Sometimes you look up in the sky and you see a white trailer, a white, I don't know what you would call it, trail, a white trail in the sky. You know, that's a jet, a supersonic jet. You didn't see it. And that's what they see in the gas chamber. They see a trail. They don't see the electron. They have faith. That's their religion. Unfortunately, their conclusion is that there's no intelligence behind nature. We also have our faith. And we also have our experience. And those who are more advanced, they have more experience. And ultimately, Krishna says, Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te, teshang nitya vyuktanam, teshang satata yuktanam, bhajatam priti purvakam, dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. Those who try to serve me in love, I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. You take a coconut, a green coconut. I know you have them here in Brazil, because I had one in Abidjania. Haven't had any in Brasilia yet, although I sure would like to. So you let that coconut ripen. And there is some coconut meat on the shell. So you let it ripen more and more. Finally, the outer shell becomes brown and hard. And the inner meat is separated from the shell. You can shake it. You can hear inside. There's the coconut meat, the coconut pulp inside. You can hear it. It's in the shell, but it's not attached to the shell. That is how you can be freed. By developing love for Krishna, by practicing devotional service, You can be in the world, but not affected by the world.
Essa é a forma de liberação. A pessoa pode estar no mundo, mas está apegada ao mundo, e isso é possível através do amor e da devoção a Cristo.
Your body gets old. And you know, that's just my body. I'm not my body. Some people think that the body is the beautiful person. You all know the story of the beautiful princess. And there was one handsome prince. And he saw the beautiful princess. And he went to her and he said, "Darling, let me take you to the Kasbah. We will make beautiful music together." She said, "Okay, but you come back in 1 week." She was a little smart, or intelligent actually. So for 1 week, she took purgatives. And she evacuated a lot. She vomited a lot. More evacuation and more vomiting. And she kept it all in a big pot. So then after 1 week, the Prince Charming came in on his white horse. "Yes, sir. Can I help you? I've come to see the beautiful princess." "That's me. It's me." "No, no, I mean that beautiful woman. I can't get her out of my mind." "No, it's me. Shall I show you my beautiful essence?" "Well, yes, I'd like to see." So then she took him to the room where she kept the pot of all the essences. And then he got enlightenment. So we can develop love, spiritual love, if we want. And great personalities like Srila Prabhupada, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, all so many great teachers of love are giving us guidance. So, today is Ekadasi. You all know the story of Ekadasi. According to the Puranas, in the beginning of creation, Narayan created all living beings. And he realized that they had a tendency towards sinful activities. Keep in mind that, generally speaking, everybody in the prison house is a criminal. There may be some innocent people. That's material law. But everyone in this material world has come here because they have rejected submission to God. They want to become the supreme personality of Godhead here. There's a lot of competition. It's tough. I've been trying for a long time, and I can tell you it's tough to be God over here. Too much competition. Icha dvesha samutena dvandva mohena bharata. All living beings come to this world and they're overcome by desire and envy, hatred. Moha, they're covered by illusion. In order to control these living beings, Narayan created another living being known as Papa Purusha. And his Papa means sin, Purusha means the person or, yeah, person. So his whole body, the form of his body, was created from different, representative of different kinds of sinful activities. For example, his head represented killing of a brahmana. And like that, his eyes something else, his arms something else. So his job was to punish the living beings. But then Narayan thought that I have created the living beings here, or I brought them here, and I am the source of their happiness and distress, so I need someone who can regulate the activities of Papa Purusha, otherwise he'll just cause everybody suffering. Therefore he created Yamaraj, the Supreme Court Justice of Death. So then, after some time, he went to the kingdom of Yamaraj just to see what was going on. And sure enough, there were some living beings who were acting sinfully and were getting their just results, reward or retribution. So he heard them suffering as a reaction from their sins, just like if you kill cows, innocent cows, there will be a reaction for that. If you engage in adultery, there's going to be some reaction for that. Everything is related in the world. It's not just going on laissez-faire, spontaneously without any rhyme or reason. God has his business organized. He's got a PhD in business management. And he himself is engaged in wonderful pastimes with his obedient servants. He doesn't take part over here. We get whatever we pay for. There's no injustice. Whatever happens to us is because we did something to somebody else in a previous time. You may not remember, but there's a lot of things even in this lifetime you don't remember. In the last 20 years or so, there's been a lot of talk about child abuse. So many of these children who were abused by their parents or some demoniac pedophile, they don't remember what happened to them in their childhood. It affects their whole life. But they don't remember why it happened, what happened, and they don't know why they're affected. They can't connect the two. So that's mundane psychology, but on a much bigger scale, whatever we do has an effect on what will happen to us in the future. In other words, right now we're building our own future bodies. Our own future lives. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tyajati ante kalevaram. According to our mind's desire and our what we deserve, two things, your desire, your mind's desire, and what you deserve, at the time of death, you'll be transferred to another body. So therefore, Vishnu, hearing all these suffering conditioned souls screaming and petitioning him, help! They were suffering in the court of Yama's kingdom. He took compassion, and from his own body he created a deity known as Ekadasi. And this deity was to be worshipped on the 11th day of the moon waxing and waning. So then people started to worship the deity, and they started to get free from their sinful activities and be liberated. And then Papa Roosh said, I'll be out of a job. What will I do? No employment. Then Vishnu laughed. He said, don't worry. You can stay in food grains. And anybody who eats food grains on Ekadasi, you go along with them, with those food grains, Papa Purusha. So that's basically the story of Ekadasi. As I said, tomorrow is the disappearance day of three of our biggest acharyas. Krishnadas Kaviraj came to Vrindavan after the departure of Lord Chaitanya. He wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which was originally called Chaitanya Mangal. and Vrindavan Das Thakur wrote Chaitanya Bhagavat. So the Chaitanya Bhagavat is the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in his childhood. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita is the older, the later pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri and in Vrindavan. And also, it's also more, there's more philosophy there. Krishnadas Kaviraj was a very great scholar, a poet, and Sanskrit acharya. He was a disciple of Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami's disappearance is also tomorrow. Raghunath Das was the only son of two brothers. Well, he was the son of one of the brothers, but both the brothers were very wealthy landowners. Gopinath, Majumdar, and Mahashaya Majumdar. He was born in Bengal, and even though he was from a very wealthy family, from his early childhood he was attracted to renunciation. The nice thing about bhakti yoga is that we can gradually renounce the material world. Formerly, if you wanted to practice spiritual life, you had to go to the forest. You had to give up sitting living. You had to go to the forest. You had to meditate and live very austere life. But bhakti yoga is recommended for Kali Yuga, and we can remain in family, we can remain in the city, and we can still become renounced. If we follow the process correctly. So Raghunath Das, he is famous for starting the festival known as the Panihati Festival or Chiradoi Festival, where he fed all the pilgrims who had come to see Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. And he was very attracted to Lord Chaitanya. And when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas and was leaving Bengal, Raghunath went to him and begged him, "I want to come with you." But Lord Chaitanya told him, "No, you stay at home, and at the right time, you come to me." So his family members, he was the only son, his family members knew that he had an attraction for spiritual life and renunciation. So they tried to, first of all, they got him married to a materialistic young girl, beautiful girl. And even then he tried to escape, and they put guards to keep him in the house. If you think you got trouble becoming a devotee, just think of Raghunath Das. So Raghunath Das finally left home and met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent him to Vrindavan. There he studied under Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, and he became very, very renounced. And he was doing his bhajan without any hut or anything. He was just sitting on the bank of the Radhakund Lake doing his bhajan, and the hot sun would be boiling down on his head, but he didn't care. He would just go on chanting. So different incidents happened whereby Krishna was forced to protect him. Radharani protected him. And this was seen by Sanatan Goswami, who got angry with Raghunath and told him, you build a little hut and do your bhajan in a hut. We don't want to force the Lord to serve us. Raghunath Das was very much devoted to Radharani, and there's one camp of gopis that is under Chandravali, and there is another camp of gopis under Radharani, and they're always fighting. How to get Krishna's attention? How to get Krishna's love? So Raghunath was such a staunch devotee of Radharani that he would not talk to any of the devotees who were devotees of Chandravali, and he would not take any prasadam from them. He wouldn't have anything to do with them. One very wealthy businessman was going up to Badrinath, which is in the Himalayas, a famous hill, a mountain, a temple in the Himalayan mountains called Badrinath. So along the way he was giving big donations to many at many holy spots. So at night he had a dream, and the Lord appeared to him, and he told him to go to the place in Vrindavan where he would meet one devotee named Raghunath Das. And Krishna told him, you give him all your money, and if he refuses to accept it because he's a renounced ascetic, then you remind him of his desire to renovate Radha Kunda and Shyama Kunda. So Raghunath heard this, Raghunath Das Goswami heard this story, he was amazed, and then he told that businessman, all right, you excavate Radha Kund and Shyama Kund, and what we have today was done by that donor for Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was the son of Tapan Mishra. Tapan Mishra was born in Saptagram in Bengal, and he was a friend of Nilambar Chakravarti, who was the maternal uncle of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was a great scholar. Tapan Mishra was a Brahmana. Mishra is Bengali Brahmana. And he was a great scholar. And he had many philosophical questions about the absolute truth. And in a dream one time, the Lord appeared to him and told him, you go to a young boy named Nimai Pandit, and he will answer all your questions because he's actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though he's a young boy with the name Nimai Pandit. So after meeting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or at that time Nimai Pandit, all his questions were answered, and he wanted to spend his whole time serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and staying with him always. He was very attracted, Tapan Mishra. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, no, you go to Kashi, or what is known as Benares, and you establish your residence there, and you carry on with your worship, and later on we will meet. So then many years later, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came from Puri, and he came to Benares, and he went for a bath in a kunda known as Manikarnika, and while he was bathing in that ghat, that bathing part of the Ganges, he was chanting loudly, Hari, Hari, Hari! So then Tapan Mishra heard that. He thought, who is that chanting so loudly the names of Hari? And when he went there and saw the shaved-up sannyasi, bright-faced, effulgent, he thought, could that possibly be the young boy, Nimai Pandit? So when he finally confirmed that it was in fact Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was in ecstasy and he invited him to his house for lunch. And he received him very nicely, his wife, and he cooked such a wonderful feast, and they served it so nicely to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then after lunch, his young son Raghunath worshipped the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, massaged his feet, massaged his legs. You find this in India. I don't know about Brazil formally, but in India, in the villages, every young boy will, or all the sons in the family, will massage the feet, the legs of their father. It's quite a custom. At least in previous times, family life was very strong in India. Parents took all care of their children. They gave them a lot of love and affection and protection. And the children worshipped their parents, served their parents, respected their parents. There was nothing like old age homes where you send your parents when they don't know how to rock and roll anymore. Did you say rock and roll? Okay. We have this system, at least in the United States and other places in the world, where young people, they want to have a good time, and the old people are a botheration. You got to take care of them. So send them off to some home where there's some nurses, and, you know, let them take care of them. So there's a lot of tension between young people and old people who realize that very soon they'll be sent off to an old age home. They're in fear, and they're also ready to fight. Anyway, Raghunath Das, Lord Chaitanya picked him up, or pardon me, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Lord Chaitanya picked him up in his arms and blessed him. And while Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in Benares, he stayed at the house of Chandrasekhar, who was a Brahmin from Maharashtra, and every day went for lunch at Tapan Mishra's house. So over that period, the young boy became very attached to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and when Mahaprabhu wanted to leave, the boy wanted to go with him. He wanted to leave and follow his spiritual master. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, no, you stay at home and you serve your parents. You have wonderful parents, you serve them. Later on you can come and see me in Puri and visit. Huh? I'm not sure exactly. He must have been about 12, 13. Very advanced. We have one devotee in ISKCON who left home when he was 12, 13. 13, I think. He went to Haridwar to become a sadhu. Now Yogendra Swami. Anyway, Raghunath Bhatta, his father got him trained, educated, he became very scholarly, and he grew older, more mature. And then he got a chance to go to Puri. His father sent him off to Puri to meet Mahaprabhu. His mother cooked all kinds of wonderful preparations in a big basket to give to Lord Chaitanya. So Raghunath went to Puri, stayed 8 months with Mahaprabhu. There's a description of the affectionate dealings between Chaitanya and all his followers and all the devotees, how they, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would embrace them all, he would make sure they had accommodations, he would make sure they had food, he really gave them a lot of love, and they really gave him a lot of love. And then again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent him back to Madaras, told him again, you take care of your parents, you have wonderful parents. I always remember your mother, how she prepared so much nice prasadam and lovingly served me, and your father, a great devotee, you go and serve them. After his parents died, Raghunath Bhatta went back to Puri to meet Mahaprabhu, stayed some time. Mahaprabhu sent him to Vrindavan, and he studied again under Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami. All of these personalities are described in the Gaura Ganadesh Deepika as incarnations of gopis or manjaris from Krishna Lila, Rati Manjari, and can't remember who the other manjaris, but they're all great personalities. All right, I think it's time. I'll be here tomorrow and Tuesday morning. Then I'm not sure when I'll see you all again, unless you come to India or meet me in London or New York or somewhere. But I hope that you all, as I said, can go deeper now in Krishna consciousness. I've been coming here for a few years. Actually, Brazil is a great country. Brazilians have some culture. It is an ancient country. And this is a Vedic Dharma is the oldest spiritual culture. So there's no reason why, I mean, there's a bunch of, like, really foolish people who have no idea, really, about spiritual life. Some guy from India came to Brazil once, went back to his little place in India that I've never heard of, and I've been all over India, and they have a nice temple here. Nobody comes. I've been there for, you know, 2 days now, and I think one or two people came, and they were people who were, you know, managing the place. You know, their main program, they have a big banner outside their place, is yoga for pregnant women. That's their main program. Even, I don't see any pregnant women come there, I think. So, you know, if they can have a temple, you know, we're a worldwide organization. They just bought a piece of property in Argentina for about $200,000. They need more money to build their temple, but the property is right downtown Buenos Aires on a major street where about, I don't know, 80,000 cars pass by every day. And they already have another place where they're renting, beautiful temple. And, you know, their economy is really bad. The International Monetary Fund, Argentina has defaulted on so many loans from so many banks all over the world, they can't get credit with anybody. And the International Monetary Fund just refinanced them because they have so much money outstanding with Argentina that if they allow Argentina to default on that money, the International Monetary Fund will come crashing down. Wow, that was fast. Woo! Okay, that's sutra. Yeah, sutra. Okay, it's probably more than what most people can understand. Anyway, the point is, the next time I come here, I'd like to hear that you found a piece of land, or you found a building, and you're looking, you've got a plan to find some wealthy donors, or what are some program. Because we have, you don't know the wonderful things about this Vaishnav culture. I've lived in India for 32 years, and it's so rich, we haven't even scratched the surface yet. So don't wait for your GBC. He's busy with Rio and Paris or whatever. Don't wait for any other sannyasi because you probably only see them once every year or whatever. All of you, you sit down and plan. And, you know, let's do something. Let's get people coming here, preachers. Let's put Brasilia on the map. Let's put our spiritual lives on the map. All right, Hare Krishna.